Welcome back to the Voices of Long COVID podcast. I'm your host, Noelle. On each episode, I'll be featuring a different long COVID sufferer and sharing their story. We will learn about the strength and resilience of those who continue to persevere with this chronic condition that has drastically altered their lives. There are an estimated 400 million people suffering with long COVID worldwide. People say they don't know anyone with long COVID. Well, now you can say that you do. So it's time for me to tell my long COVID story. It's a long one, but I'm not going to apologize for that. I've learned that I have the right to tell my story and to take up space. And I think it's important to tell it in order so that people really understand what it's like to navigate this by myself. So I'm joined again by my friend James. Hi, James.
Hi, good afternoon. Thanks for having me again.
Yeah, thanks for co-hosting or guest hosting, I should say, today.
My pleasure. Do you want to start with what your life was like and your health was like before you had COVID?
Yeah, so in March of 2020, I was a healthy and active 47-year-old, married with a 7-year-old and an 11-year-old. I was an elementary school teacher, rarely went to the doctor. I was on no medications. I was a very clean eater. I was gluten-free, grain-free, sugar-free, alcohol and caffeine-free. Lots of fun. I love to exercise and I worked out intensely 6, if not 7 days a week, 3 days at the gym, working with a small group and a personal trainer, lifting heavy weights, deadlifting, pull-ups, sled pushes, etc. On the weekends, I would go for a 5 to 10K hike in the mountains or the forest, add on yoga to that, paddleboarding in the summer, paddleboard yoga, spiking in the winter. I never sat still.
Super busy.
Yeah, I was. I was always trying new things like hobbies, events, traveling. People would tell me that they were exhausted just listening to what I did in any given day. I typically would get up at 6 a.m., get myself ready for work, have breakfast with the kids, pack lunches, get to work by 7:45. I would teach 22 8-year-olds in all subject areas. And then after work, I would go to the gym for an hour, come home, make dinner from scratch. I was always trying out new recipes. I would spend time with the kids or a friend and then probably sit down for the first time after the kids were in bed at around 9 o'clock. Watch some TV, and then around 11:30 p.m., I would think, I should probably go to bed, even though I wasn't really tired. And then I would start the process all over again the next day.
And this is while you were teaching, which is a lot of prep, a lot of work, and early hours.
Yeah, I mean, getting there at 7:45, I'd probably be there till 4 or 5. And that was only one part of my day, right?
That's enough to wipe anybody out a teaching job, let alone all the extracurricular activities.
Yeah, but I didn't feel tired. Yeah.
So this was your life before COVID. And then your husband got COVID and you and the kids ended up with an infection also.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So if you listened to that last episode, you heard the circumstances of how I got COVID. I had a mild to moderate case for about 3 weeks. My son was sick for about the same amount of time and had ringing in his ears for about a year. I never had the respiratory symptoms like my husband. For me, it was neurological and gastrointestinal from the beginning.
Right.
So dizziness, nausea, insomnia. I would get these rushes of hot and cold skin sensations. It felt like a rush of heat with icy daggers at the same time on my skin. And I'd never, ever experienced anything like that before, and I just knew it was something different. I was having difficulty regulating my temperature. I would feel lethargic, but my husband was in the hospital, so I had to look after the kids, so there was no resting time. And I didn't know how to rest anyway at that time. And I only took 10 days off of exercising because I loved it so much.
Mm-hmm.
So after a couple of weeks of this, I went back to life, back to work, back to exercising, and I eventually felt better. But then I started to notice that I had these lingering, seemingly random symptoms. I still had the hot and cold skin sensations, nausea that would come and go, ringing in my ears. In the month of May, I gained 20 pounds in 1 month.
Wow.
And this is no change to diet, no change to my exercise. My cycle completely stopped for 120 days. I started to get this weird eyelid muscle thing where it felt like I had a worm crawling in my eyelid.
Whoa.
So every night for 2 months, I had this, and my husband had the exact same thing. So I knew it wasn't just a muscle twitch. I developed acid reflux, and I didn't know what was going on. The symptoms were just a nuisance at this point, and I assumed that they would go away. But as far as our area was concerned, in our province, we had managed to keep our numbers very low.
Mm-hmm.
And my family was the only one that people in our circles knew of who had had COVID so far.
Yeah.
So in June of 2020, I came across a Facebook group called Survivor Corps. It was based in the States, and it was for people suffering with something called long COVID. And all these people were experiencing the same things as me. And although many of them had the respiratory difficulties and were unable to exercise, I was proudly like, well, I can still exercise. That's weird.
Right.
There were about 10,000 members at that time. And over the years, it grew to 120,000 members. And they had higher numbers of infection in the States then. So it was like having this inside look into the future of what was coming to our area, right?
Right.
So summer of 2020, I'm still super active. I was taking advanced paddleboarding classes. I paddled from Burnaby to North Vancouver. I was learning how to do advanced turns and pivot on my board. I was looking into getting a smaller racing board so I could paddle rivers. I was increasing my weights at the gym. I was hiking longer trails. I was still super active.
Right.
But at some point I thought I should talk to my doctor.
So how did it go for you when you sought medical care?
So my doctor of 35 years had just retired in the fall of 2019. So I had a brand new doctor who I had met once during the meet and greet, and I hadn't needed him for the 10 months after that.
Mm.
So he didn't know me at all. I call him up and I tell him that I had COVID and I have all these things going on, like blurry vision, tinnitus, nausea, acid reflux, and I still can't regulate my temperature. So he sends me for blood tests and a chest x-ray. And of course, all that is normal. The tinnitus is constant in my left ear.
Oh, no.
It sounds like, you know, when you're watching a war film and someone lets off a grenade and there's that high-pitched sound in the movie.
Yeah.
It sounds like that 24/7. So I went to a hearing clinic and they tested me, and they tell me that the tinnitus is at 4,000 hertz and that I have some mild hearing loss at that same level. So they program a hearing aid for my left ear, which enhances sounds at 4,000 hertz in order to try and trick the brain to shut off that tinnitus. And I think, oh, a hearing aid at 47. Great.
Yeah.
But it does help to cut the tinnitus by about half. And I still have that. So I have an amazing summer despite all these annoying symptoms, and then I go back to work in September. I immediately lose my voice, and I think there's no way I can project my voice in a classroom for 6 hours a day. So I elect to teach online for the year, thinking that would be easier. It was not. but I did have more flexibility in my schedule. And then finally, in Canada, we're starting to hear the term long COVID, at least online. So I hear about a long COVID clinic that has opened up in Vancouver at St. Paul's Hospital. So I print out the referral form. I get my doctor to sign it. And there's a box for you to check yes or no. Did you have a positive COVID test result? Well, since I was denied testing, I didn't have a positive COVID test result like so many people that were infected in the first wave.
Yeah.
So I check no, and then I write a couple of sentences on the side of the margin of the paper, and I'm like, my husband tested positive in hospital. So I really had to fight to get in to a long COVID clinic. So I find out that I'm admitted, and I'm so happy. I'm so excited. Like, finally, someone who knows what's going on is going to be able to help me.
What month was this?
So I got in November of 2020.
Okay.
So I go to the hospital for the day. I'm there for 6 hours, and they do another CT scan. I give vials and vials of blood for testing. I do pulmonary tests, and I pass everything with flying colors. Because they're still very much focused on it being a lung illness.
Yeah.
And at the end of the 6 hours, I finally get to meet with one of the doctors, and he says, I'm so sorry you're dealing with all of this. Please tell me your whole story. And I think, finally, I feel so heard. Somebody cares, right?
Yeah.
I tell him my story, tell him my symptoms, and I say I have tinnitus. And he says, that's not a symptom of long COVID.
Oh, no.
And I said, there's thousands of us with tinnitus online. And of course, a couple months later, the clinic changed their website and included tinnitus as one of the top 5 symptoms of long COVID.
The screenwriter from Dawson Creek, the show, she had tinnitus so bad she killed herself.
Yeah, absolutely. Horrible.
From long COVID.
Yeah. I say to the doctor, I have blurry vision that comes and goes. I got this new prescription for my glasses, and a week later, I couldn't see out of them. I say, I have this fatigue where I work all day and then I come home and I don't have the energy to make dinner for my family. So the doctor looks at my chart and he says, oh, we have the same birthday. Happy birthday. Because it was the week after my birthday.
Okay.
And I'm like, oh, that's so kind of him. And then he says, well, you're 48 now.
Oh, no.
And he dismissed all of my symptoms based on my age. So that was it. He said, you'll be fine. Keep exercising. You'll be fine. So I left.
This is the long COVID clinic?
This was the long COVID clinic.
Oh, my goodness. Okay.
We're going to take a break and remind you that any discussion of supplements, medications, or treatments are not to be considered medical advice. If you believe that you have long COVID, know that you are not alone. Please seek out one of the many long COVID social media groups for community support. And please make sure to speak to your doctor. So a couple months later, the acid reflux is horrible. I'm having trouble swallowing, even swallowing my own saliva. The fatigue is worsening. I started having neuropathy, so tingling in my hands and feet. And within a few days, it spreads up to my elbows and up my thighs. I go to see my doctor, And he does that old fashioned reflex testing, you know, with the hammer.
Oh, no.
The hammer on the knee.
Right.
And the elbow. And of course, I pass that with flying colors. And I say, well, can you refer me to a neurologist? And he says, a neurologist won't see you for that.
Oh, what?
And I say, well, you know, I've been reading about something called mast cell activation disorder. I seem to be reacting to foods with histamine. Do you know anyone that I could see for that? Nope. Nope, he doesn't.
Yeah.
So I go home. And a few days later, the tingling and the numbness spread to half my face. And I feel like I can't control the muscles on the right side of my face.
Oh, gosh.
So I drive myself to the ER because you still can't have anyone take you to the hospital. And I consciously decide, okay, I'm not even going to mention the words long COVID.
Right.
Or even COVID.
Right.
I just tell them my symptoms. And within 5 minutes of being there, I can overhear the ER doctor on the phone talking to a neurologist about it and saying MS, right?
Wow.
So I was referred to a neurologist in 3 weeks and he did an EMG test, so nerve testing. And he said, it'll go away in 3 months.
Okay.
And I still have it 3 years later.
Hmm.
So meanwhile, I'm doing what the doctor says. I'm hiking on the weekends. I'll hike or I'll spike in the snow for 10 kilometers and I get home. And within a couple hours, I get this overwhelming thought in my head, like, you need to lie down now. And I would lie down and my body and my brain would shut down for 2 or 3 days.
Wow.
I couldn't function or even be, I wasn't even self-aware enough to think, wow, this is concerning. I started to lose words. I forgot the word for bottle, for truck, for umbrella. So instead of saying, let's sit under that umbrella, I would say, let's sit under that envelope.
Wow.
One day I was making my meals for the week and I couldn't get the food from the frying pan into the containers. I was using tongs and the food was falling out. So I tried using a spatula and that wasn't working. So I thought to myself, if only there was a tool that I could use to get this food from here to there. And then I opened up the drawer and I saw a large spoon and I thought, oh yeah, that thing.
Wow.
So I'd forgotten the name, the function, the purpose of a spoon.
Wow, that's so scary.
Yeah. So I kept having these crashing episodes. And at the 1 year mark of having COVID, March 2021, I had my follow-up call with the head of the long COVID clinic. He said, you know, some people are developing ME/CFS, chronic fatigue syndrome, and that would explain the crashes that I'd been having. And so he said to rest. He said, keep your heart rate low and stop going to the gym. And the clinic pretty much discharged me at that point.
That's unbelievable.
Even though I was worse. So I thought, there's nothing wrong with my heart. Why would I do that? But I stopped going to the gym for a month and it was absolute torture not being able to go to the gym. I remember I went for a slow, very slow walk with my family in the woods. And I knew that I had to keep my heart rate below 90 beats per minute, which is actually really hard to do. And there was a little bit of an incline that I wasn't expecting on the trail. And my watch warned me that my heart rate went up to 100. Mm. And I was like, oh, well, I'll be fine. And then I ended up crashing for 3 days because of that.
Oh, God.
I started having cognitive issues being online. And I would do something like a kid's puzzle with my daughter for 15 minutes. And then I would feel this brain pressure. And I would get dizzy and I couldn't think anymore and I would have to stop and then rest and then try again the next day. So 24 hours later, I could have like another 15 minute window of using my brain.
Crazy.
I would sleep for 8 hours and I would wake up feeling like I'd been asleep for 5 minutes. I was just so exhausted.
It's crazy how these stories are so similar. Like as you're talking, I was like, wow, you're describing exactly what was going on with me.
Yeah. So I had a call with my doctor and I told him my symptoms and that it was recommended to me by the Long COVID Clinic that I get referred to this program in Vancouver called the Complex Chronic Diseases Program. There's a 3-year wait list for this program. Mm-hmm. And the doctor said, you haven't been fatigued long enough.
Okay.
And he wouldn't refer me. And he said, sometimes in medicine, we don't have all the answers. Just think positive, eat healthy, and he prescribes this medication. And so when I Google this medication, I discover that it's an antidepressant.
Oh, God.
And so I didn't fill it. I'm not depressed. I'm saying, I want to go to work. I want to go back to the gym. Can you help me? But no one was helping me. So I went down to teaching 3 days a week and then 2 days a week. I was putting chairs all over the classroom so that I could sit down. I would lock my door at recess and turn out the lights and put my head down on a pillow so I could get my brain to shut down. I was doing everything I could to stay at work and keep my career. I was working with a doctor in the States, taking experimental medications. I found myself a functional medicine doctor and a specialist and a naturopath. I tried every supplement under the sun. And then finally, 2 years into this, I managed to get into a specialist and I was diagnosed with ME/CFS, mast cell activation disorder, and dysautonomia. I would teach all day Monday, come home. I couldn't do anything. I was completely useless. I would rest all day Tuesday, Wednesday, just so I could repeat the process on Thursday. Teach Thursday, rest Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And I thought, I can do this. I can manage this. This is great. I don't have chronic fatigue syndrome. I had an awesome summer, and then I went back to work in the fall of 2022. I got 2 months in, and by the end of October, my body just gave out.
Wow.
I was no longer able to stand. I felt really dizzy, and I thought, I'll just take a day off, and I'll bounce back.
Yeah.
I thought, I'll rest. I sat on the couch for 5 days, and then my body was like, nope, you're too dizzy. You need to lie down. I laid down on the couch for 8 days and I was just never able to get back up again. I would wake up in the morning feeling like I had zero energy. I would manage to make myself some oatmeal for breakfast and then I'd have to lie down on the couch for the rest of the day. I couldn't stand long enough to shower.
Wow.
So I went 2 weeks without showering. And then I thought, okay, I really need to shower. I'll try while my husband is home in case something goes wrong. And then I just crawled in and sat on the floor of the shower and let the water hit my face. And I couldn't believe that you could be so sick and the doctors didn't seem too concerned and there was no treatment for you.
That's scary.
I was diagnosed with POTS and I was never able to go back to work. So that was the end of my 25-year teaching career that I had built, that I was so passionate about, and it was my whole identity.
Wow.
I was lying down 22 hours a day for 8 months. It was the worst time of my life. I went from hiking on the weekends to lying down all day and hoping that I would see a bird out the window. Working in a school with 400 kids every day to being by myself for 9 hours a day and hoping that the daycare would walk by so that I could hear some kids talking. and I just started to make a few gains so I could rest and then do an activity. And I was maybe lying down 17 hours a day. And I decided I wanted to have a bit of normalcy. I wanted to have a couple outings. And so decided to start going out without wearing a mask. And then I got COVID again.
Oh, no.
In July of 2023. And I had all the symptoms that I didn't have the first time around. So I had COVID tongue. I had COVID toes. I rested for 7 days. I felt horrible. And after the acute part of it was over, it completely lowered my baseline back down to zero.
Oh.
And so now I've been housebound, mainly housebound, for 17 months. And I'm on 6 different medications. And yeah, that's where I am now.
Wow. It's really interesting how your story is different than mine, in the sense that mine felt like it was a real line of, like, I never felt like I recovered from COVID. I went right into being bedridden. And in the last 3.5 years, there's been ups and downs, but there's been kind of a steady line of a little bit of improvement. Oh, I can't even barely say that because I'm in bed as we speak 3.5 years later. But yours had, and I've heard this story from a bunch of people where they had COVID and then they felt like they got out of it and they were back to try to run marathons and real heavy duty athletes. And months later, just were like put in bed like you. So your story is very common, although mine is a little bit, has a more of a linear trajectory. Your story is very common. Like it can go, but it's coming back. It's not gone.
I think it just took a while for the illness to ramp up. And I think initially I had these lingering random symptoms. And because I continued to push myself with work and exercise, that's when the neuropathy ramped up. That's when the crashes started.
Yeah.
And we know that this virus has remnants that spread throughout the body. And I wasn't listening to my body. And I was listening to the doctor who was saying, you know, just keep exercising. So I've been sick for 4 years. And it's just such it's a dynamic illness. Like, it fluctuates. And you think, I'm having an okay hour, I'm having an okay day. But really, it's still there underlying, and you really have to learn to pace.
And that's hard on your mental health, because no matter how positive I am, I just, this is real and I can't get out of this at this point, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And for me, I feel like it's tied to my immune system. And so, yeah, it fluctuates and it messes with your head, because in your brain, you're like, I can do all these things, but your body's like, no, you can't. We'll be right back after a quick break. These long COVID patients are continuing to persevere through a reduced quality of life, a lack of support from the general public, and a future that is uncertain. They need your help to spread the word. And you can do that by sharing this podcast with somebody new.
So how has the reaction been with your family, your friends, and your coworkers with you struggling with this post-COVID sequela?
So if you just listened to all of that and you heard everything that I've gone through, it's been rough. But compounding on top of that is the public perception that I'm lazy, that I'm making this up, that I'm disposable, that people can ignore this. And it's just heartbreaking to go through all of that and have no support. you know, I think about people that get cancer, and cancer is a horrible, horrible disease, and I'm not downplaying it, but when you get cancer, people make you lasagnas and they set up a meal train and they send you flowers and they check in on you.
Yeah.
And you go to the doctor and there's a test for that and they believe you and you get into treatment if you're lucky enough to live where we do. And people understand that there's a spectrum of illness and you can come out okay, or you might lose an organ, or it might be fatal. There's a spectrum of illness. And nobody says to you, I had cancer, it's no big deal. No one would dream of saying that to you. But those are the comments that I get. I had COVID, it was like a cold.
Yeah.
And for the general public to be so critical when you're just trying to protect yourself from getting infected again. So I've had people be really aggressive and call me paranoid when I was literally on the way to a pharmacy to get medication for long COVID. And they're calling me paranoid for wearing a mask and, you know, making comments to my son when he's walking with his friends, to comments to my daughter when she's in the store. People make comments to my husband for wearing a mask, and we can't afford to have anyone else get sick in our family. If my husband gets sick, then who's going to look after us? Mm-hmm. And there are millions of us that can't afford to get this again. There's a whole disabled population out there that we need to be thinking about, and I'm now a part of that population. And we need to stop being so self-centered and maybe think before we speak and think before we act.
Yeah.
And to have friends just walk out of your life and ghost you. You know, we're talking long-term friends that can't even send a text message to ask how you're doing. It's really eye-opening and disappointing to be abandoned while you're the sickest you've ever been.
Wow. What is your daily life like now? And how has your life changed?
My life couldn't be any more different. Every single little aspect of my life has changed. The way I sleep, the way I eat. I can't drive very far. I mean, I used to love driving and road trips. I've even driven all the way from Vancouver down to Los Angeles and back. And now on a good day, when I'm not too dizzy and I'm not in a crash and I'm not too fatigued, I can drive 10 to 15 minutes. I can briefly stay at my location and then drive back home again. And then that's my activity for the day.
Mm-hmm.
I used to love to drive really fast with the music blaring, and now I have to have the radio off in the car. I have to plan out my route. I have to think, you know, is this location accessible? Is there an elevator? Do I know where I'm going? Because I get confused. I get lost in a city that I've lived in my whole life. I get confused paying for parking. I can't figure out how to pay for parking. And I can't even find the parking meter. I have to ask someone. I have to make sure I'm not going to have to stand in line for very long. I can't do lineups because of the pots. At home, you know, I used to cook from scratch every night for my family. I love cooking. I love baking. I can't do that anymore. I would blast my music and dance in the kitchen with the kids while I was cooking. I rarely listen to music anymore because it's just so overstimulating. And, you know, I can't even listen to podcasts. I can make one, but I can't listen to them. Sometimes I have to wear these noise-canceling headphones because it's like living with a concussion on top of all this. I can't exercise anymore, which is what I loved. I can't exert myself in any way or I will crash. The clothes that I wear are different. I can't fit into anything anymore. I've put on 50 pounds and I get statements, or sorry, I get comments from strangers about my weight.
Wow.
And there's just this perception that, you know, there's a woman in her 50s who's overweight, and they just assume that you've let yourself go, right?
Yeah.
And that's not what's going on here. You know, people are still talking about the lockdown that happened at the beginning of the pandemic, which wasn't really a lockdown where we were, and how they had to really, for a couple of months, limit their activities. And they're still talking about that. And I've been housebound for coming up on 17 months. You have no idea. Like, in the beginning, at one point, I didn't leave my house for 7 weeks.
Wow.
Because I was so sick when I left work. And now if I go out, my husband's driving, and I look at the trees. I've never appreciated trees so much. And entire condo buildings were completed in the time that I was at home. Wow. And I don't even recognize my own town. What was the question?
Question was about how your life has changed.
Oh, right. Okay.
Now.
But the thing I miss the most is probably hiking. And I can't figure out how to replicate that. Like being in the forest and in the mountains, getting away from everything, where everything is just quiet and peaceful. And I miss those nature sounds. I sold my hiking shoes.
Wow.
That was a really low moment. And I feel like my life has been shortened, not in the sense that I'm dying, although who knows what curveballs this illness has in store for us, but in the sense that I can only do one thing a day and then I'm resting.
Yeah.
So my days are shortened. What I can accomplish in my life has been shortened, and time has been taken away from me. You know, everyone expects to get older, to age. We can't control that. You get to 80 or 90 years old and, you know, you don't look the same and you're not able to do the same things that you could do when you were younger. But you don't expect to age 30 years in 2 years.
Yeah.
My energy and my life source has been stolen from me. My family dynamic has changed so much. My kids do so much to try and help, but my husband is doing absolutely everything, and he has run off his feet trying to work and run the household.
Wow.
And to have such a strong parental value system where you want to raise your kids a certain way, you want them to be physically active and not on screens all day, but I can't take them out anymore. I can't take them outside and appreciate nature. And so they're so much more sedentary now. One parent is lying down on the couch all day and the other is trying to pick up the slack. And from outward appearances to my children, I look lazy. That's really tough.
So what are your symptoms right now?
I still have all the symptoms that I've had since the start of this. But the main symptom is fatigue, which is just debilitating. Cognitive and physical exertion makes it worse. So I went from being able to hike 10 kilometers to now I can't walk farther than 100 or 200 meters on a good day. If I go further than that, then I crash and my body shuts down and my brain shuts down for 2 to 4 days. I like to explain it in terms of fuel, almost like a car. So your body needs fuel. So let's say that a healthy person has a 100 liter tank of fuel in their body. They go to sleep at night, they wake up in the morning, their tank is full. They're able to get up, have a shower, have breakfast, make lunch, go to work, come home, maybe exercise, make dinner, maybe go out. And their tank, through all of that, still has about 30 liters left. you know, they're tired, but they could, if there was a need to, they could do more activity.
Yeah.
They go to sleep, they wake up in the morning, their tank is back to 100 liters. For me and people with ME/CFS, their tank is smaller. Their car is inefficient. It's not using fuel properly. It doesn't have enough fuel to run the car. So their tank, my tank is about 15 liters. You know, we expend energy physically, cognitively, emotionally, and all these things use up fuel. So if I get up and have a shower, that's 10 liters gone and I'm left with 5 liters. So I really have to plan my day and prioritize activity. I have to plan my week, my month. If I have a doctor's appointment, I need to rest beforehand. And the entire day before that, there's no activity. The entire rest of the day, there's no activity. Even the next day, I'm resting because of that one doctor's appointment.
Right.
And let's say something unexpected happens, like somebody calls me on the phone and we talk for 20 minutes. I've now pushed myself beyond that 15 liter capability and I've gone into the negative. And that causes crashes if you go beyond your capabilities, and I'm down for 3 to 4 days and I can't even function.
And those crashes do damage to the body.
So I'm resting constantly. I'm lying down the majority of the day and just trying to manage that fatigue.
Yeah.
I realized that the times that I start to lose words are when I've overexerted myself in some way, and it's really elusive. It's hard to pinpoint sometimes. So I have to live within my limits, which right now means staying at home 90% of the time, which is not much of a life. You know, I keep a log, and on average, I have about 3 days a month where I feel pretty okay. Like, I still have all of my symptoms, but I don't feel like I'm being poisoned. So that's what, 36 days a year where I feel pretty okay.
Wow.
But I still have to watch my level of exertion.
And same thing for me. I have, when I wake up in the morning or I get up, I have to prioritize the one thing I might be able to pull off that day, and then being in bed for a lot of the day.
I mean, my husband is doing the driving when, you know, I go out on the rare occasions I can socialize with friends, and I feel great when I'm out. It's like you get this shot of adrenaline and it's false energy. And you have to be really careful. So I'll go out with friends and then I'll come home and then I'm on the couch for the next 2 days. And so people don't understand when they see me out, they're like, well, you look fine. You seem fine.
Yeah.
But they're not seeing the next day and the day after that. And I can't repeat that. There's no way I could do that 2 days in a row. So it's really hard to explain to people. Even doing this podcast, I start to get dizzy and I bump into things.
And it affects my ability to function the rest of the week. So I won't be able to do too many more episodes, unfortunately.
So in the 4 years that you've been working through this long COVID, has there been anything that has helped you with your symptoms?
So nothing makes me better, but learning to live in my new life helps to prevent me from getting worse. So, I mean, being able to adapt to living with this horrible illness is essential. So really learning my boundaries and living within them. So being realistic about what I can and can't do. Electrolytes, daily electrolytes are essential for me. I'm on about 6 different medications. I've learned to delegate. So delegating tasks at home, my kids help to clean the house. I have to make sure that there is some kind of food for me ready to eat at lunchtime because I'm home by myself and I can't physically prepare food for myself without crashing. I need to lie down the majority of the day. I have to limit screen use. I have a shower chair and an electric wheelchair. Meditation really helps me with my mindset as well as preventing brain fog and cognitive issues. And keeping a gratitude journal really helps.
Great. What do you wish that people knew about your experience with having long COVID?
That when you become chronically ill, it changes your entire life as you knew it. There's this whole underground community of people with chronic illness that most people don't even know about. Thank God for the internet and for WhatsApp, because it is so isolating. I want people to know that there's a range to this illness, and just because you're mild right now doesn't mean that you can't push yourself into moderate like I did. And there are people that are even more severe than me. Resting is hard. It's the hardest thing I've ever done. When your mind wants to do all the things that you used to do, like socialize and hike and go to work and go to the gym, but your body is just not capable of it. You're forced to lie down or you'll get worse. It's the cruelest illness that no one knows about. And, you know, everyone has been sick before, maybe for 2 days or a week or maybe even a month. And you know that you need to stay home and rest. And everyone has experienced cabin fever after a couple of days. But imagine 17 months of that. And some people with ME/CFS have had this for 30 years. And yet you wake up every day and you have to learn how to live in your new body and in your new life. We're quietly fighting this every single day. You go to work and we're still at home by ourselves. So check in on people.
Has there been any silver lining for you? And what have you learned about yourself through becoming chronically ill?
I've had to learn how to slow down. My life has gotten so small. And gratitude is key. I've really had to find those glimmers and focus on what I have, not on what I don't have. And that's really hard. Mm. Some days are easier than others, but even in the midst of losing everything, there's always something you can be grateful for, whether it's the fact that you got to cuddle with your kids or you got to see a bird outside your window. I mean, if you focus on that, it really does change your brain chemistry, and being able to find the joy in the smallest thing is pretty amazing. I refuse to be a victim, and I'm advocating for acknowledgement and treatment for our condition. And I'm relishing the little moments with my family. And having this podcast project has been so rewarding, and to be getting messages from people that it's helping them to not feel so alone makes it all worthwhile.
Yeah. Well, I think it's fabulous what you're doing. You've touched on two of my biggest hopes too, is that this would spread the knowledge of all the people that are suffering, because one of the hardest things I find in my life is not only am I struggling with my life, my new life, when I'm with friends or family or out in public, people think I look great or fine. And for some reason, that's just so hard, because I don't want to get into a constant conversation trying to prove that I'm ill. And what I find really soothing is that our stories, they're a bit different, but they're all very, very, very similar, which I think really proves what long COVID is and that it's real. So thank you for doing this podcast. It's helping me a lot. I really appreciate
you. Thank you for your help. I think for every story that I've highlighted, there are millions of others.
Yes.
Just like it. This is just the tip of the iceberg, and we really need to help each other out because it is such an isolating thing to be dealing with this on our own. So thank you so much for your help.
Thank you. It's been my pleasure.
Thank you for listening and for your continued support. Don't forget to subscribe and leave a review. I'll be back with a new episode next Wednesday. Until then, stay safe and stay informed.